All right, I'm Flex Pavilion.
Hello, this is Andrew W.K.
Yo, 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 it's Miles from Slack Stupid.
This is Ali.
This is Nick from Chuk Chuk Chuk. What's up, guys? This is the Chain Smoker. Is the name of school from Ghost?
This is Beefcake the Mighty from Guar.
Hey, folks, we're Royal Blood.
And you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions. Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hi, I'm a rapper named Show You Suck, and you're listening to Sound Sessions. Be nice to people.
Sure, you suck. It's great to have you on the show today.
How's it going?
It's going awesome. Thanks again for joining us, man. What have you been up to lately?
I've been sitting on my couch and playing a lot of BioShock.
Oh.
I've been watching a lot of Law & Order SVU. And
living the dream.
Yeah, yeah. And like say. Going over edits of videos.
Very
that's
nice.
Pretty much my life right now.
And what a better way to live your life. I mean, everywhere I look, there's Show You Suck. It's been a label that I've seen for the last, what is it, 3 years?
Yeah,
or something
3 years.
Like that?
Yeah. It seems like it's been 3 years.
So what made you get this start in the Chicago scene? What was the first few times that you went out and you're like, okay, this is going to be my thing that I'm going to do from now on?
Well, I say the moment I had when I said this is going to be my thing is actually, it was the very end of my first sold out show,
mm-hmm.
sold out headlining show. I was at Reggie's Rock Club.
Great spot.
And it was for my album, One Man Pizza Party 2. And right after the last song, that's when I had a moment of clarity when I can actually like think about what was going on, and I see like 400 people that I don't know here to like listen to my music, and I was kind of like, I should probably just start doing this.
Yeah.
But all before then, it was pretty much just like hobby, you know. And I worked at a tattoo shop called Code of Conduct. I was a front desk dude, and I was kind of just happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun life around creatives all the time, and from that job, I kind of met people who like ran blogs and who just kind of like posted my music just for fun. Like I was just Clinton then.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite Show You Suck yet. Yeah, and just kind of took it from there. It just kind of spread. Word of mouth has been my best tool and friend.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the past 3 years, for sure.
And you know, Clinton Sandifer, your real name, your mantra, I mean, it's a cool name in itself, but I gotta know, how did you come up with the name Show You Suck? That's such a unique name.
My favorite movie of all time is The Last Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main characters in that movie is this guy named Shownuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a total like badass. And I when I started rapping, I took up that name. And a few years into that, I was in high school at the time, and I took up that name, and I met an older rapper
mm-hmm.
in Chicago named Shownuff. So out of respect of my elder, I just dropped the
wow.
Nuff,
yeah.
And I was just Show.
Okay.
For all the way up until maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I was just Show. And this is pre-internet age. So coming into the internet age, I figured out that name is really dumb because you can't Google it.
Nope.
That's smart, though, yeah.
And I was like, man, I have to do something. I didn't want to completely change it. I was like, maybe I should add something to it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I had started a call and response at my shows where I go, Show is so awesome, Show You Suck. And because I figure if you're the guy with the mic in your hand on stage, people just do what you tell them to do anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you hated my show, you're going to yell it out also because you think I suck. So that way I get the whole room. And I don't know. I figured that name was interesting enough to where, as if you were scrolling a blog and
mm-hmm.
You see all the different songs, and if you see that name, you're probably going to click on it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it made me laugh long enough, so I just stuck with it.
If anything, at least you think it's a porn site or something.
Yeah. You know what? You know what's funny is that it hasn't. I thought I was going to get a whole lot of correlation to that.
Yeah.
I don't get as much as you think.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's working.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it.
There's a certain positivity that comes from that. You know, you mentioned that you do have a lot of call and response parts of your show with the crowd. And, man, Kevin, I got to set the stage for you real quick. So you're at a Show You Suck show. The entire crowd is moving around. There's this great energy, and he does. He puts out these call and response techniques to the crowd. I wanted to know, what gets more people on fire when you're on stage? Is it the tacos or is it the pizza chant?
It's weird because I guess my most popular song is called Girls and Nachos.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably gets a bigger reaction. I don't know. People get really stoked on pizza, too.
Yeah.
Also.
Say in general, in life.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I adopted pizza as part of the culture of my music, because mm-hmm. it's kind of an easy win.
So I want to know, you have the name that sets you apart already, that, you know, it's already a unique name and it sets you apart from other rappers out there. How do you set yourself apart musically? There's so many people that are doing it themselves, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And they have, you can make the music in your garage, you know what I mean? But yeah. how do you set yourself apart and set yourself above the rest?
The culture.
Okay.
The culture that I attach to my music and to my art isn't what you usually equate to rap music. More so now than 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
But the things that I'm just kind of into are just like, you know, 80s, 90s pop culture,
mm-hmm.
Gaming, like comics, like anime. I have songs about relationships too, and
sure.
like, and then I have your songs that are just kind of like, I'm a better rapper than you songs, because that's just kind of a staple in hip hop. but a bulk of it is just fun at the end of the day. And I think if you just put fun into your art, then it's just kind of easier for people to attach to it. It's like I think of it more so of I'm just going to make what I like more so than me setting myself apart.
Sure.
I just make what I like, because I know, especially for me working, I spent the bulk of my life working retail. I know that for one person, there's a million others just like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of you just kind of have to, you know, they have to find it.
Yeah.
And if you're true to the cultures that you put part of your art, then people are going to find them. I talk about hardcore bands, like I'm part of that culture, so kids who are into hardcore bands are going to find my music.
Yeah.
I talk about gaming. I'm an active member of that community, so people are going to find that. I don't fake the funk. That's what I'm aiming to.
I like it.
Well, nice, man. So, you know, you did mention that there is a connection that kind of sets you apart. You do have this connection to gaming and to the hardcore scene. What's it like now that we have something like the internet to go about? Are you still hitting the streets and, you know, handing out CDs the way that you see a lot of people do in Chicago? Or is it just solely on the internet and maybe some other strategies that you use to spread your music?
Yeah, I don't do that handing out CDs
mm-hmm.
jam. I definitely come from that school. I'm old enough to know what that is, but that's definitely not as effective as you would think. I think the internet is definitely my best tool for sure. And my bread and butter is definitely my live show. I became pretty good at the internet fairly quick. I just kind of lucked out. I just basically just use the internet and I make stuff weird enough that people talk about it. They don't talk about it as much as I would like. Things like
sure.
what we're doing right now
right.
helps for sure. Because mm-hmm. I get a lot of opportunities that other rappers don't get.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that for sure. And it's podcasts just like these, man, that help me out the most. So I really do appreciate things like this.
You know, we appreciate you. And, you know, kindness goes a really long way, especially
truly.
In the music industry.
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
can see that.
Yep.
And is that, you also kind of spread the love to your fans in an assortment of ways. I see that online you have a big social media following. You give a lot of communication to the people. And if they write to you online, you'll usually write them back with some kind words.
Yeah, that's
a cool
totally,
thing
man. My thing is I'm not busy enough to where I can't do that.
Yeah.
I hope I get to a point where there's too many fans and I can't answer back all day, but I'm at the point still where if you hit me up, then I'm going to hit you back because I can, like, and
that's
I have
awesome.
The time on
yeah.
my hands to do that. So why not?
Yeah.
I love that I can build relationships with these people over a short amount of time. And yeah, it's wild. Like, because I still remember freshly in my mind the days where these things didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so weird and awesome. I would be a different person if I had access to like my favorite artists like that early on in the day. Yeah. But yeah, if it's here and someone reaches out, I'm gonna hit them back. Like,
I love that. And you know, you mentioned the fact that what separates you from the other artists, especially in Chicago and in the scene in general. And I think it is that connection that you have with your fans that might set you apart from some of the artists that you see in the city and everything. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate them, man. It's awesome.
Do you remember that show? I don't know why this came to my mind. Do you remember that MTV show, Fanatic? When like
yeah, dude,
when you would like go to your favorite artist, and then they'd put you on the show and put you like in a music video of theirs.
Yeah,
freaking out. Yeah, yeah.
So I had funny. A video. I did a video for a song called I have a song called Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, more so homies help homies is what everyone knows it by. And that was a video shoot where I just kind of like, yo, I kind of put it out there like, yo, I'm shooting this video downtown. Like, whoever can come out, like, come out. So that's exactly what I thought of when I did that, was that show Fanatic.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And but that's like what people are drawn to. You want to be genuine and like friends with the artist. And that's what you get down with. Now, I see that you also put out announcements to your crowds and to the people that listen to you. You ask sometimes for video games and pizza and everything. Now, what is the strangest thing that you've gotten from a fan just yet?
What is the weirdest thing that I've gotten?
Because sometimes you ask for like really specific video games, and I'm like, oh man, if I was at a replay store, I'd get that in 2 seconds.
they bring them. I'm trying to think, what is the weirdest thing? You know what? A kid brought me a leather jacket once.
Really?
That's yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. It was I played a show in DeKalb at the House.
Okay. Oh, that's house a cafe.
Yeah, the House Cafe. Venue. And it might have been like 2000 and like early 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid just like brought me his leather jacket. It was like studded and it was awesome. Like, he had like worked on it and he just like gave it to me. He was like, "Yo, I want you to have this."
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Fit okay and everything?
It was a little bigger than what I would usually want, mm-hmm. but I mean,
you know,
it just was awesome. Yeah, totally. But I've gotten tons of video games.
That's great.
Systems. One kid sent me, you know, this may top the leather jacket. This kid sent me in the mail, last year. He sent me a huge box, and all they had in it was a pink Misunderstood tour T-shirt.
What?
Yeah, and it's a shirt that I wear all the time to this day. It was awesome. A pink Misunderstood tour shirt. And about 4 or 5 days ago, a dude from Australia sent me an ALF board game from like the late 80s.
That's pretty cool.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's awesome.
From Australia, too. I mean,
yeah, dude was from all the way from Australia.
That's great. Let's talk gaming, actually, now that we're talking board game and all that. So, you know, you mentioned earlier you're playing BioShock on the PS Network and all that. So what else are you playing? What are your
currently
favorites?
Currently, I have a Wii, a Wii U.
Oh, wow.
A PS3, PS2.
So why do you hold on to these old ones? You're just not ready to...
These are all things that I've gotten a hold of again.
Oh.
I kind of had everything. Sure. I've grown up playing video games.
Same, yeah.
So I've kind of had every system. And throughout the years, like, I let someone borrow something or want to stop working. And I'm just kind of getting back to the point in my life where I want everything back again.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So I'm running a Super Nintendo.
That's cool.
I got a DS.
Nice.
I got a PS Vita coming to me on Monday, which I'm really stoked about.
Man, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm really stoked on that. So I don't have a PlayStation 4 and a Xbox One
yet.
Yeah, not yet. but yeah, I just kind of take whatever. If someone has a game they don't want anymore, I don't care if it's a system that I don't have. I'll take it because it'll get used sooner or later.
What's your favorite game of all time?
My favorite game of all time is Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
And that was what platform? Wow.
PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And my favorite game franchise is Uncharted.
You know what? I have the Uncharted series. It came with my PS4.
It's amazing.
I have yet to play it.
Oh, my God, dude. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's that good?
It's an amazing franchise.
Okay.
They do a great job.
Good to know. I got to get on that.
So you got a bundle with all of them on it?
Yeah. It's three of them, right? Or is
it with the PlayStation 4?
Yep. It came with the PS4. Awesome. Yeah. So, you know, I just got it for Christmas.
Oh,
like, okay,
man.
Here's
I
want to
get that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And
I'll mail it to you.
Does PlayStation have the same thing that they have the live, like the Xbox Live thing going?
Yeah.
On?
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to get back on that.
Are you pretty active on the online?
I have a PS3, and kind of what I do, I didn't come up in online gaming, so I'm still kind of fresh to it. But what I do is kind of early in the morning, like 10 a.m., I'll hop on Call of Duty Black Ops 2,
mm-hmm.
and I'll play fans for a little while.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a cool little interaction you get to have with fans. That's awesome.
I used to play, I don't have Street Fighter anymore, but I'm very good at Street Fighter and most 2D fighters, but I take a lot of pride in my Street Fighter skills. And I used to play fans at that frequently.
And you usually win?
For the most part, yeah.
That game, I mean, some people get serious about that game.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not very braggy when it comes to video games, but I am pretty good at Street Fighter. It's just one of those things where, like, I understand the science of it.
Right. Yeah. Who's your character?
Ryu.
Oh, nice.
That's it. I only know how to play with Ryu. but yeah, I'm pretty good at fighting games. Like, I'm really in. I'm playing Tekken Tag 2 on a Wii U right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Tekken Tag 2 on a Wii U is amazing, and it's only like you can find it for like $15.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dang, man. Well, I feel so behind now.
You gotta get a system, man. We'll start playing.
It's a great time to get into it, dude, because you can get – I mean, the best system of all time is the PlayStation 2.
Okay.
And it has the biggest library. And most of the games, you can find them for like $3, $4, $5.
You know, the biggest complaint for me was always that the PS2's controller was always too hard to manage when you're used to that Xbox Live controller.
Oh.
It's too hard to make the switch because the Xbox Live was so close to the
they're very different controllers.
The N64 controller.
For me, it was never an issue because I just always played everything.
Right,
so,
yeah, same.
Yeah, it's just, even like the Wii U is like this huge screen. Like, I don't. It's just second nature to me.
And these new ones now, like the Wii, I'm not sure, I haven't played the Wii U yet, but it's like, you know, you don't have to leave your house. You can buy games right there and just downloads right to your place. It's amazing.
That's how they get you.
I don't, I should quit my job and just.
I still like the act of going to a store.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And kind of hunting for stuff and talking to people. So I haven't fully made the, I've downloaded a few games before.
Yeah.
But there's nothing's going to beat like just going out to like a disc replay or you know, and just kind of hunting for stuff and going to like a Goodwill and.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever hit up those headquarters or emporiums?
I haven't. You know, I haven't been to headquarters yet. But I played a few shows at Emporium.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, they
say,
know me really well there.
What's your favorite stand-up game there? Are you all pinball?
Actually, I'm pretty heavy on the pinball there. But they got Marvel versus Capcom.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So I play that a lot while I'm there.
Yeah,
I'm pretty heavy on the pinball there.
Yeah,
my girlfriend is very proficient at the Metallica pinball.
Really?
She's ridiculously good at Metallica pinball.
Yeah, that one's one of the one that is always taken up is the Metallica one.
It's a good
it's
one.
So good.
It's like watching her play it is like, it's like watching art. And I mean, really, she doesn't really understand what she's doing still, but she just gets it, man. And she kills it.
It's all like timing and
I think she has the number one like score.
That's pretty cool.
At the Metallica pinball at GameWorks, in Schaumburg, she definitely got the number one score in there. Like a few years ago. I don't know if anyone beat it.
You're dating a real pinball wizard.
That's
great.
She's a really awesome soul, like, jazz singer.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And, I don't think she fully realizes that she holds a lot of power in her pinball skills.
So if the music thing doesn't work out, she can...
Yeah, totally. She's completely unpolished at pinball. Amazing at it.
I love it. So, you know, another cool thing that I saw about you is that we have this really shared bond that you might not know of. You have been quoted saying that your favorite artist was Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, man.
My first show ever I've ever been to was Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, dude.
One of my favorites,
too. When did you see him?
I saw him when I must have been 13 years old
in
a Rockford Convention Center.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Have you never seen him?
I've never seen him live. I almost had the opportunity to interview him.
What?
For Consequence of Sound. But they, I had a show the same day, and they thought I was going to be too busy to do it. But I would have moved stuff around to go interview.
Of course,
Weird Al. He's definitely one of my main inspirations.
Yeah, so what is it about him that draws you to him?
You know what? Before I even, the first album I bought from him was Bad Hair Day.
Yeah, classic, and classic album.
I just thought it was hilarious how he, you know, just parodied songs. But I'm more so into his, the polka melodies.
The mashups
that
he used to do?
Yeah, those are awesome. So good.
Those are awesome.
They're so good. And a lot of his older stuff, UHF has a huge influence on a lot of my a few of my videos.
Yeah. I could see that.
He's just cool, man.
He is.
What he does is just really cool.
When's he gonna get a Super Bowl halftime show? Like, of anyone that needs have a suit, it's him.
That's a great point.
That is
an
amazing point.
We got to start a petition.
My dream Super Bowl halftime show would be Weird Al and...
He's not going to disappoint anyone.
And the Black Eyed Peas. Like, bring in
the Black Eyed Peas. Wait, so are the Black Eyed Peas opening or closing for Weird Al?
Or they're just a collab.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I love the Black Eyed Peas. Fergie era, though. Only Fergie era.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I love the Black Eyed Peas.
I got to be honest, that song Glamorous, was that just a Fergie song?
I think that was just a, that was a great song, though.
Guilty Pleasure, for
sure. Yeah, that was a great song.
I remember that.
For sure.
So we have a lot of staying questions that we ask through for our guests.
Okay.
And one of them is Guilty Pleasures. What's your favorite Guilty Pleasure song?
I don't know. I don't really believe in Guilty Pleasures. Mm-hmm. I like everything I like full-heartedly.
Yep.
Let's see. What is the most? What?
I mean, it doesn't have to be like you don't feel guilty about it, but if you're around, you know, your boys and everything, and then all of a sudden some of their listening
Glamorous
to it,
comes on, I'm turning that up.
You're turning it up?
I guess I love the new Bieber album a lot.
I keep hearing good things about
it. It's a phenomenal album.
Is it really? I gotta check it out.
Everybody's on that Bieber train.
It's really good.
I mean,
I'm trying to think of something that's a little more weird. Let me look at my Spotify.
You got no Britney Spears or anything?
I got a guilty pleasure.
I do.
Playlist.
I like Toxic from Britney Spears.
See, that's a jam also.
That's a really good song.
Definitely.
I actually, me and my girlfriend were just in Vegas, and we were going to go see Britney because she has a Vegas review. But it's just the timing wasn't right.
Can't win them all, I suppose.
Nah.
That show was supposed to be huge.
A weird thing that I like a lot.
Yeah. What was yours, Michael?
Mine was, I really am into, like, really bubbly female pop sometimes. I just get into that. Like I said, Frankie, I like a lot of, I don't know.
And I know Third Eye Blind comes up all the time.
Third Eye Blind.
I love that band, man. That album, that, like, I don't remember if it was a self-titled or what, but God, it's just every song's so good.
I didn't own that album. I find that really weird that I didn't own that.
They were one of my first concerts, too, at like, The Riv or something like that. I was in seventh grade with my parents. It was awesome, dude. They were great.
You know, we still need to work on getting them on the show. They dodged this
dream,
last time.
Dream booking.
Yeah, they're great, man. They're great. So do you have one?
I don't know. I like a lot of crap. So
that's the cool thing about music, though, because no matter how much you are embarrassed about a song, it just touches you that right way, and you're like, oh yeah, this is where it's gonna be.
Yeah, I just foolhardily defend anything. Like I get a lot of flack for the Black Eyed Peas, because I'm very anti pre-Fergie era Black Eyed Peas.
It was a weird time when they put out those albums without Fergie. Because
here's the thing. Before Fergie, they were definitely within the conscious rap realm, which is fine. I love all that stuff. Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Ruckus Records, De La. But when it came to Black Eyed Peas, they just made really bad conscious rap. Like, they're just not that great of rappers. Like the beats, just like the boom bap beats, just got kind of boring after a while. But when Fergie got added into the equation, they made really great pop music.
True.
And it was tons, when you look in those songs, like tons of different genres are mixed. When you look at songs like I'm a B, like it starts off as a pop song and then it goes into like jazz fusion halfway through, and then it's like really smooth at the end. It's like they're exposing like the masses to really awesome different genres of music. Like and they just made really phenomenal and dynamic pop music rather than stale conscious rap.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. I love that you're into the Black Eyed Peas.
Passionate about the Black Eyed Peas.
I'm passionate about things that I like.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's certain music acts that I'm not really, you know, there's some music acts that I'm not really sure why I like it, but I just like it. It just hits the soul the
right
way.
Right.
Like something like NWA doesn't do anything for me.
Okay.
But if you talk to me about 3-6 Mafia, that's my NWA.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't really explain why. It just hits me the right way. Maybe like it's a combination of like the first time I heard 3-6 Mafia, I was in my cousin's like Beretta.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Driving around on the weekend.
Kind of
like,
triggers memories or something.
You know, you know, like certain things I don't really know how to explain why I like it, but most things I can explain to you to a T why I like it.
Sure. Yeah. What about, you mentioned Law & Order SVU, so you're watching TV. What about, is there any like guilty pleasure TV shows?
Oh, yeah. Me and my girlfriend watch a lot of crap. This is the first time we were watching The Bachelor.
Oh, ooh, wow. Do you like it? Is it any good?
I'm kind of into it.
That girl, Amber.
It's a TV show where we can just sit and judge people. It's, you know, it's easy. Like,
I love the types of shows where it's like, you know, I've had a long day at work. I just want to come home and let my brain melt. I love that show, Chopped.
Chopped is awesome.
Chopped's great, man.
Chopped is awesome.
I love that show.
This is going to be surprising. Have you seen Kids Chopped yet?
I have. I see these little shits, man. I'm like, yeah. How are you doing this?
Oh, we can curse here? Awesome.
Yeah.
I wish they were way harder on those kids.
On the kids. I know.
I was hoping that it was going to be just like regular Chopped.
I know.
Yeah, but, you know, it's cool. I love like most of the cooking shows.
Yeah,
me and my
too.
Girlfriend enjoy those a lot.
Yeah, what about you, Michael?
Are you
a TV junkie like we are, I guess?
I am, but I haven't been really watching a lot of the reality TV that I used to go to. But I will tell you, there was a time in Michael's life where he was a total junkie. When they were putting out Rock of Love, Daisy of Love, Tequila Show.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She's crazy right now, by the way. I don't know if you guys have seen her on Twitter.
I don't want her to be any way else.
She's right there with B.O.B., thinking the world is flat. And I don't know if you're following this at all, but it's crazy.
I am a natural skeptical. I'm skeptical of everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm almost borderline. I'm not exactly sure if dinosaurs actually existed. So I kind of felt B.O.B., but my problem with him was that his idea just wasn't backed with any evidence.
Yeah.
You can't use YouTube conspiracy theories as your proof for anything.
It's like he doesn't understand that there's a lot of people who just go and just say whatever the F they want, like about whatever they're talking about.
Yeah, I'm always down with someone, going against what's popular theory, though, because how many people have challenged that?
It's great to be the devil's advocate on a lot of those situations.
Yeah, so
dinosaurs.
Yeah, I get it. You know, but for me, it boils down to the fact that when you look back, at least for me, when I look back at everything that I know about dinosaurs, mm-hmm. either they came from Jurassic Park or just some teacher. And where do they get info from? Just from bones? How do they know what color the dinosaur was?
That's true.
That's my thing. My thing is, if I found a hole in that theory, then I don't really believe anything you told me then. I don't know if those bones in that museum are real.
Yeah. It could be.
I don't know. I don't know.
Don't tell that to Sue. Chicago has.
I saw that documentary. I saw that. You know, watching a documentary, like when you're watching them excavate the bone, I was like, okay, I can get behind that because I'm seeing them do it. Before, I'm just taking your word for everything. At the end of the day, we're just taking everyone's word for everything.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's a really strong point. I'll have to look into it.
I'm telling you, Tila, there was a snap where it was like the fog, and she's like, the government is releasing poisonous fog to poison me. I was like, girl, you are nuts.
All right,
or
now
is
that's
she
a stretch.
Not nuts?
Yeah. Or she, that's true. Maybe we're all just ignoring it.
You know what? Because there's a lot of conspiracy theory videos on YouTube, and they're only crazy because they're on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
What if these people are right?
It'd be pretty weird. The fog was a pretty convincing movie.
I never saw it, actually.
Oh, Jesus, it's about the exact same thing.
Either.
Yeah, it's good. It's about the conspiracy of the government is putting out this fog that was just
Is that M. Night Shyamalan?
It's M. Night Shyamalan, yeah. It's pretty solid.
Did you guys see his last movie?
What was it? I forgot.
The Visit?
No.
It's actually really good.
The Visit.
And he doesn't screw up the end. It's about the kids who go visit their grandparents for the weekend.
I did want to see that movie.
I was this close to watching it a couple
weeks
ago.
It's the first movie I've seen from him where I was like, yo, he didn't screw up the ending.
You're endorsing it? You like it?
I fully endorse that
movie.
It's a really good movie.
Definitely going to check it out.
All right, so let's go back to the basics here.
Oh, yeah.
So in Riot Fest 2014, you just blew up that scene. Like, that was the first time where I think people really got the idea of Show You Suck.
Yeah.
It was an extremely well put together show. I think, was that before or after you had just done your European tour?
That was before.
Before?
Yeah, yeah. It was a week. Mm-hmm. A week before I left for Europe.
So you must have been revving up. You must have had all this energy because that crowd was on fire. And I wanted to know, what is your connection to the punk rock scene? And do you find yourself, like, is that the crowd you're trying to go for? Like, the creating that kind of anarchy mm-hmm. in the shows? Because it really came through strong, and I really enjoyed it.
First of all, thank you.
Yeah.
The thing about that show was, it was the first time where someone gave me the platform that that my show was designed for.
Yeah.
And my roots, I grew up watching MTV. MTV raised me. Mm-hmm. MTV and Roseanne completely
right
raised me. And I always wanted to start a band mm-hmm. when I was younger, but never lived around people who wanted to start a band. I grew up in predominantly black areas. Where rock music isn't popular. And I kind of started rapping out of not being able to start a band. It was just kind of like rap was my last resort.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause you can do it anywhere. You know, sure. You can write a rap in class. Like, you didn't need to buy anything to do it. Once I started, working in, skate shops, in the West suburbs, I got into the hardcore scene. Actually, my first punk show was this kid in high school who used to, like, he was a full-on skinhead, and I had a Black Flag CD,
mm-hmm.
and he saw that I had it, and we kind of had a common bond then. So senior year of high school was my first time. He put me on, because I had no idea how to find out about shows.
Yeah.
So that was my first time going to a show, was through him. And then working in skate shops, I kind of got into the hardcore scene out mm-hmm. in the West suburbs. And my first, like, rap solo shows were at hardcore shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always just kind of an aesthetic and culture that's just kind of heavy into my rap music.
Yeah, it ties in so well with those shows that you're a part of. Like, being around those kind of gritty kind of punk rock shows is kind of your scene. I mean, it fit in so well at Riot Fest. People enjoyed it so much. It's a really cool aesthetic that you have with these shows.
Yeah, I come from basement shows,
yeah,
garage shows, sure. Performing in practice spaces. Like, that's where I come from. But I have the aspirations of I feel like I'm the first, like, rap artist here in Chicago to incorporate props into his show.
Yeah.
Like, I have stage props now. And
let's talk about that. You have a big giant slice of pizza on stage.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a demon slice of pizza named Franklin also. And there's some other things that I'm working on right now. And mm-hmm. it's doing what I can, because my thing is I don't want to perform with a band,
because mm-hmm.
I don't really like live band rap. There's a way to do it correct, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, people like the Roots do it right.
Oh yeah.
There's an artist out of Milwaukee named Classic who does it really well. I just don't feel like taking the time to do it well, because I don't want to look like Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my thing is kind of make it all look cool.
Yeah.
Because definitely after seeing what Kanye does with a live show and seeing things like Yo Gabba Gabba Live, and, like, there's no reason why I can't incorporate things like that into my show.
That's great. When was the last time you saw Kanye West in concert?
I saw Watch the Throne at South by Southwest.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very nice. I think, was that 2014?
I think that's a safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the new Kanye West album, Waves?
I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too crazy about the last two records he put out, because they kind of sound like, I like progressive Kanye.
Yes.
Whenever he puts out something new, I kind of don't like what came out before it, just kind of automatically. And I'm a Kanye stan,
yeah,
by the way. But I feel like I'm a reasonable stan. I just want to hear him be progressive. Like, and then the last two records are just kind of like, they sound like they came from my dark twisted fantasy, which is fine.
Like B-sides of that almost?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel, but I just want to hear. It seems like this one is a larger collaborative project, which I'm stoked to hear it. Yeah, I'm really excited to hear it.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Kevin, what are your thoughts on the new Kanye West Waves?
Yeah, scene? I haven't heard anything about it. You know, he's a polarizing guy, Kanye West, and he irritates me. I won't lie to you.
Okay. I see. I understand it, though. I get it. Like,
now, what do you mean?
The things he kind of riffs and yells about, like, I get it because I'm a creative.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. I get it. Like, yeah. I'm not as brash as a person as him. But also seeing what Chicago artists had to go through mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. early 2000s,
yeah.
Like, I saw that, like, to see what they went through, like, it's very difficult not to be kind of an asshole, like, now.
I mean, the Kanye that I do like is, like, old stuff that I know. I mean, I haven't paid attention to him enough, honestly, as I should have, but, yeah. I mean,
it's all right, man. Just pay attention to the music.
Yeah.
Anything else is just distracting.
And that's what it's about, right?
It's just distracting.
Like the most recent
Wiz Khalifa
thing. If you
don't like him,
then
don't pay attention to him. Just pay attention to the music.
Yeah, that's what it's about. I like Wiz Khalifa, and then the whole drama that was just going on with them. I was just like, this is so weird.
It feels like they're obviously taking away from the music, and I think that that's what everyone gets distracted by and doesn't.
Yeah, it seems like people are just kind of more so into the experience of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to... they don't care about just the music anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They want to hear how you sound outside of that, and they want to see how you walk and what you're wearing every day. It's weird. It's like, it's even on when it comes to terms of, like, even my Instagram, like, just a picture of me does way better than, like, a picture of, like something that, like, you know, a show
yeah,
flyer or,
right.
like, something mm-hmm. active that, like, something cool that I find really cool. Like, people just like to see you.
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird. But whatever, man. Like,
this,
you know,
is the time we're living in, though.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
all
yeah,
just
yeah.
like now, now, now.
Yeah.
And that's probably half the reason why you put out the Alfan 420 online, and you got the Larplore 316. I'm loving these names so much. I love just seeing all the warm feelings I get from them. And you can find them both online at your site. You know, where else can we find you?
I mean, I'm on iTunes, mm-hmm. Spotify, Tidal, YouTube, Facebook. Pretty much everything that you can find an artist on, I'm on it. Just,
you're using the internet to your advantage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not as I'm learning it still.
Yeah.
I'm learning things, and like even like I'm trying to find the balance between being able to like shut off
mm-hmm.
and still being like active on these things. So oftentimes, like, you'll see that I kind of shut off at like 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
because I'm home and I'm like,
sure.
Or you know, sometimes I bubble back up at like midnight, like if yeah. me and my girlfriend are watching something and it's kind of going in late, like sometimes I'll hop back on and see what's going on, like, but I'm constantly trying to find the balance,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of difficult because there are other artists that are on all the time, and mm-hmm. people still tell me that I'm on all the time, but I don't feel like I'm on all the time.
Yeah, you gotta take time off for The Bachelor,
so it's kind of cool. Yeah, so yeah, yeah,
I love it because, again, it comes back to being a genuine artist and making that connection
for
with
sure.
your fans. And obviously you have the motor to keep going. And I think that that's what's going to draw you to a much bigger crowd and just keep moving on. We're very happy that we have Show You Suck here in Chicago. Let's talk a little bit about that Empty Bottle show next Monday. So is this promoting anything? Tell us a little bit about the other bands that are playing with you.
Yeah. February 8th, Monday, I am playing a free show at the Empty Bottle with a hardcore metal band called Deathbeds and another hip-hop artist named Black Matt,
yeah,
which are all really good friends of mine. Actually, Black Matt also comes from the early hardcore scene. Back when I ran skate shops, he would come in as a youngin, and I'll hook him up with stuff, and Deathbeds is a band that was started by my friend Cadillac Duke, who's a hip-hop artist in his own right. He started a metal band. And, yeah, we're just kind of throwing this show at Empty Bottle. And it's not really to promote anything in particular. It's just kind of like, I guess in sorts, it's kind of the first show I'm having since Alfan 420 was released. We're first proper show. I've done a few comedy shows
mm-hmm.
since that project came out.
Yeah, I've been seeing that. So are you trying to get, are you doing stand-up right now?
I'm in the comedy world, slowly but surely.
This guy does it all.
Yeah, it's really weird. I've always kind of dabbled in with humor as part of my art. And I did a show with this group called the Flavor Savers, and they're a comedy troupe. It was me, the Flavor Savers, and Turquoise Jeep. And it was a Cinco de Mayo show at Mother's. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool. And from there, the Flavor Savers kind of asked me to be a part of a sketch that they put together. And I did that. And it's been kind of like an ongoing thing. A lot of people in the comedy community like my music. And they asked me to be like the musical guest on a lot of shows, and they kind of the me seeing me at a comedy show mm-hmm. is kind of I do a bunch of the same songs. The banter in between is a little longer,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot chill, so it's like it's like a pseudo stand up,
mm-hmm.
I guess. But it's definitely a full on different experience from the actual live show, which is kind of cool because you see, because especially this next show coming up, I'm going to see people. A lot of people only know me from these comedy shows.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people in the city, that's what they know me as. They know me as part of the comedy community. So for them to come see an actual, like my actual show with like kids like moshing and like like people are being thrown from the stage, like it's mm-hmm. always awesome because I can tell who's like come from what.
Well, the guy, he does it all. This is Show You Suck. He's playing at the Empty Bottle next Monday, February 8th. And Show, it was amazing having you on Sound Sessions.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys are rad, man.
This is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Sound Sessions, your voice for Chicago music.
Your host, Steve Gordon, got trail. I'm Godzilla, IRL. Free will, choker coach, while you choking on your chicken, choking on stage, oh, goddamn. Help at it all, figure it out. Eat a little cat, free load on the couch. Unload the fridge and I'm out. Unload the fridge and I'm out. Hop in your pool unannounced. What's all this whackness about? Water to a magua. Hard thing to a condom. Cold kid to a free lunch. Fat lady to an opera. No dweebs in Mikasa. Mo cheese on my nachos. Password to your Hulu. I'm trying to watch Gotham. I'm trying to watch Baywatch. I'm trying to watch Blossom. Right around at a Bronco. And the gloves fit just right. Followed by some bright lights. Just caught up in the zeitgeist. Old NFL highlights. About to stop at the Pie Pass. Six piece, call it Mau Mau. LED at the Pow Pow. Ask me the peace pipe. Hit now for the dial out.
You are not alone. You are not alone.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.